You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Now, you may have heard this poem before, but I want you to listen to it again today because it puts us in the imaginative space for our rather different kind of service and discussion today. It's read by Moira, and I'll just bring the mic around.
This is Prayer Before Birth by Louis MacNeice, was written in 1944. I was aware at that time of the great fear of what the Japanese would do. So think about that as you listen. I am not yet born. Oh, hear me. Let not the blood-sucking bat or the rat or the stoat or the club-footed gal come near me. I am not yet born. Console me. I fear that the human race may, with tall walls, wall me, with strong drugs, dope me, with wise lies, lure me, on black wrecks, wreck me, in blood baths, roll me. I am not yet born. Provide me with water to dandle me, grass to grow for me, trees to talk to me, sky to sing to me, birds and a white light in the back of my mind to guide me. I am not yet born. Forgive me for the sins that in me the world shall commit. My words when they speak me, my thoughts when they think me, my treason engendered by traitors beyond me, my life when they murder by means of my hands, my death when they live me. I am not yet born. Rehearse me in the parts I must play, in the cues I must take when old men lecture me, bureaucrats hector me, mountains frown at me, lovers laugh at me, the white waves call me to folly and the desert calls me to doom and the beggar refuses my gift and my children curse me. I am not yet born. Oh, hear me. Let not the man who is beast or who thinks he is God come near me. I am not yet born. Oh, fill me with strength against those who would freeze my humanity, would dragoon me into a lethal automaton, would make me a cog in a machine, a thing with one face, a thing. And against all those who would dissipate my entirety, would blow me like thistle down hither and thither, or hither and thither, like water held in the hands would spill me. Let them not make me a stone, and let them not spill me. Otherwise, kill me.
I want you to do a little thought experiment today. Imagine that you, like the not yet born child in the poem, are in a conscious, intelligent state before birth, without any knowledge of the circumstances you're going to be born into. You know nothing, that is, about who you will be in the society you will be born into. Elements like your race, your sex, your gender, your class, your overall health abilities or disabilities, and the wealth of the family you're born into, their religion, what your personal preferences might be, all these things are unknown to you, where you end up in that society, what you're given. Suppose you and a group of similar not yet borns had to decide on the principles that would establish a new society to be born into. In this imaginary state, remember, we can't know where our self-interests will lie, so we cannot pursue our own interests apart from that of others. Now, in your tables, describe a society you wouldn't mind being born randomly into, not knowing your sex, wealth, gender, not knowing your social class or your religious background. That you can talk about things like the education system that you would like to be born into randomly rather than where you were, the health system, the economic system, the justice system. You have to imagine, in short, that you are not you now, but are about to be assigned an identity into the current society. What kind of society would you not mind the birth lottery happening to you in? Well, you'd give this about 10 minutes. And don't hesitate to refresh your coffee while you do so. We need one person at the table to make a few notes on the gigantic sheet of A3 I've left you. And a final note about your discussions. Please proceed humbly. Pride wants to know who is right. Humility wants to know what is right. So I ask you to proceed humbly in these discussions. Off you go. Just to change the discussion up a bit, we're not going to solve the mysteries of life, the universe, and everything in 10 minutes of church discussion time, but just to change it up a little bit and freshen your thoughts, consider these questions. As you're coming to terms with your descriptions, what do your descriptions say about the current social order? And how should Unitarians respond to the current social order? You can take that on for another couple of minutes. Now, what I'd like... We're going to take rather a different departure from our customary use of candles to a more specific focus. What I'm looking for is one takeaway thought from each table on the kind of society you would build if you had to enter it randomly, not as yourself, or maybe what that says about the current social. Just one idea. Not a dissertation, nor even an essay, a thought. It can be a complicated thought, but one thought. Could you appoint someone from your table to come up and, as usual with this particular practice of ours of lighting candles, I remind you, my dears, to listen in silence with an open heart and mind and refrain from comment. By refraining from comment, we lift up all these shares as worthy rather than lift out a few as especially worthy. So... I've offered this thought experiment today to you because you've asked for it. As you know, I've been collecting this series of services, things that make you go, from you. These reflections are prompted by you, by the issues, personal or otherwise, that get, as we say in the States, stuck in your craw. About there. Keep you up at night, that won't go down, won't digest, you can never seem to get past, and perhaps come to terms with these issues by viewing them through the lens of our Unitarian principles and our various sources of wisdom. So far in this series, these issues have included how we stick together as a church through times of challenge and change, how we manage our fear of failure as a necessary part of living. Sources of wisdom have included the science of animal behavior, the traditional wisdom stories, poems, and I've even worked in a gospel parable, which I don't often do. And we've been able to apply quite a few of our Unitarian principles to these. Remember, by the way, too, if you want to review this series of talks, you can keep abreast of these reflections by checking out the podcast site. So keep these things that make you go, coming to me via email. It's really helping us in lifting up and sharing the living issues in the minds and hearts of this congregation, and these services kept relevant to your interests. So I want to be clear. What I'm not doing is making a long list of everything you send and ticking it off one by one. I'm filtering them. Or rather, I'm trying to discern the deep and common themes below the surface of the specific words you send. And one of the most common themes, and this is why I say you asked for it today, one of the most common themes in many of the things that make you go, I've received, is that to many of you, the way society is ordered seems so very unjust, unfair, and unkind. And the feeling we get that trying to do anything about it is like moving mountains. You've mentioned things like bigotry, homophobia, sexism, inequality, ableism, corporate power, and the fossil fuel-driven climate crisis. And not just to be aware of all the troubles in the world, like wealth inequality, climate, the engine of capitalism, which is killing us, domestic violence, the indigenous incarceration rate, to name a few. We also feel, knowing these, that as people of a church, we ought to be able to somehow respond to injustice from our common liberal religious values. But we have a hard time explaining our sense of social injustice and how we change it to ourselves and to others and even to the powers that be that don't just sound mad or angry or bitter. The thought experiment I've offered to you is the best response I know of and speaks to many of our Unitarian principles. It's not from a Unitarian, however, but someone who's been called by many the greatest political philosopher of the 20th century, John Rawls. And that thought experiment is from his landmark book, The Theory of Justice, 1971. The thought experiment itself has a name. It's called The Veil of Ignorance. And it clarifies what's truly unfair and how we might go about fixing things. It grew out of Rawls' personal experience as a member of a generation, like many of you, exposed to large-scale injustices, the Great Depression, viral epidemics that struck the poor the most, and the horrors of World War II. Unlike many of his peers, however, Rawls thought that the point of philosophy is not just to understand the world, but to fix it. Let us accept that most societies, including ours, are patently unfair in many ways. But it's really hard to hear that over the cultural narrative that says, work hard, have ambition, and no matter who you are, you can benefit from the system and be successful. The statistics say that rags-to-riches stories are so negligible as to be non-existent. I'll say that again. All the statistics say that rags-to-riches stories, which are peddled constantly, are so negligible as to be non-existent. You've heard the myth that all these things started in sheds and garages. In fact, all of these self-made millionaires and billionaires had rich relatives or wealthy investors to provide capital. Lucky them. Where you happen to be born socially is more or less exactly where you end up. The better seats have been taken for many generations through things like inherited wealth, family trusts, and wealthy relatives. Unmerited wealth and power that accompanies it get passed on randomly by the birth lottery. In fact, rags to riches is a clever myth employed to relieve the ruling class of any responsibility to change the way the system currently favors them. Rawls asks us to enlist our highest and most human capability, the imagination. Imagine if you were not you in this same system. This might be harder than it seems because those of us who benefit from injustice are not practiced in thinking like this and are spared the need to imagine what it would have been like to have been born into different circumstances, like what sort of parents you were born to, into what sort of neighborhood, how the schools that were available to you would perform, what the hospitals could and couldn't do for you, how police and the judicial systems might treat you. So if we knew nothing about where we'd end up, what sort of a society would it feel safe to enter? The veil of ignorance dissolves the distractions of cultural myth and draws attention to entering society as if entering a lottery, which it is, without knowing whether you'd be born, let's say, the healthy, able child of a white surgeon in North Adelaide, or the disabled child of a single indigenous mother in Arnhem Land. Would any sane person take the gamble of entering randomly the society we now have? No, it's too unequal to risk it. So to protect our own self-interest and that of future generations, to say nothing of the moral considerations, the rules of the game do need to be changed. The veil of ignorance provides moral direction for social change once you employ it. You kind of realize you already know what needs to be fixed. Without the sole guidepost of self-interest, all but sociopaths would create a fair society with equal rights and economic security for the poor, both out of moral consideration and to secure the best possible worst-case scenario for themselves when they enter that society. In other words, our own self-interest gets in the way of seeing where justice truly lies. Any sane person would want a number of things in place before they randomly enter a social order. They'd want, I don't know, all the schools to be cathedrals. They'd want all the hospitals to meet the needs of all the ill. They'd want fair access to law and justice. They'd want the decent essentials of life, like nourishment and housing, for everyone born, a place at the table. We know what sort of society we want to live in. We just haven't focused on it properly because the choices have already been made. The self-justifying cultural myths have been drilled into us, and we have inherited them as common sense, just the normal, natural way things are. The veil of ignorance forces us to think objectively, and that is without self-interest, about what a just and fair society looks like. In questions of allocations of resources, we need only ask ourselves this: what sort of changes would need to be made if we were to be born into the worst case scenario? We will know that our social order is just and fair when we are able to say from a position of imaginary ignorance before birth, yes, I would be okay to enter this society and risk the worst case scenario of the birth lottery. The fact that we feel disempowered, and I know that we do, to urge justice now and seem sane or reasonable is a measure of how bad things are and how much there is left to achieve. Do we need to get involved as Unitarians and as a church? The one and only correct answer in our tradition is, you are free to do whatever you want, individually and collectively. These principles are not creedal statements. They're not directives. They are, in fact, covenants between churches in the association, not agreements amongst individuals within the church. So let's not belabor anyone for their social justice sense or lack of it. Traditionally, churches are concerned with both the world inside our walls and ourselves and improving the world outside ourselves and our walls. Neither one or the other, but both and the other. Churches both offer escape from the world and engagement in the world. Historically, largely, generally, this church has concentrated on the comfortable self-interest of escape rather than engagement in making society more just. I would have to confess to other churches if I were asked then that we could be better at holding up our end of the covenanted principles particularly vigorously. And how many of our principles, if you look at them, do relate to matters of justice, since all virtue is social. All virtue is about how people treat people. It's not a question of whether our principles call us to social justice, but whether we can see where justice truly lies. And when we do, we too may be able to move mountains of troubles in the way they have been moved from the dawn of time, one stone at a time, the ones right in front of us. One of my colleagues, the Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt, says, "The truth is this: if there is no justice, there will be no peace. If we cannot bring justice to the small circle of our own individual lives, we cannot hope to bring justice to the world. And if we do not bring justice to the world, none of us is safe. Nothing that Unitarian Universalists need to do is more important than making justice real here, where we are. So may the veil of ignorance clear our eyes, that we might see how to build a just world, not just for ourselves, but just for everyone not yet born. Amen. Let's join together in singing our closing hymn, "For Everyone Born, a Place at the Table." Stand if you want, you can stay seated. Let the song fill your heart and soul. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread. May this church rise with the courage of its deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. May this church rise to proclaim its faithfulness to these convictions, to advocate healing to a fractured and hurting world. May this church rise with the force of love that enfolds the wide diversity of our shared humanity. May this church rise toward fulfilling the covenants that bind us as one movement. Amen. Have a great week.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitariansa@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.